Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Do what you love and you'll never work a day. Good advice, right? Especially for a graduating high school senior trying to decide a major in college. But what happens when the thing you love to do also becomes the thing you depend on to pay your bills? Can doing what you love also become a chore or a source of stress? Do gourmet chefs eat ramen noodles or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when they get home from their Michelin star restaurant? Do novelists still find enough creative pleasure to write their masterpiece in between time spent on commissions and copy editing? Do pop musicians tire of singing their big hit over and over on concert tours? What happens when play becomes work? While the lucky ones manage to find a balanced intersection between job and passion, interests and career, there are some advantages in keeping the two separate. In the preface to his first part of Airs, printed in London in 1605, Tobias Hume, a military captain, wrote, "I do not study eloquence or profess music, although I do love sense and affect harmony. My profession being, as my education hath been, arms. The only effeminate part of me hath been music, which in me hath been always generous because never mercenary." For Hume, who served as a soldier in the Swedish and Russian armies, among others, music may have been his outlet for the pressures of military life. Captain Hume seems to say, "Look, I'm not a pro here, but I sure do love making music, and music is even better because I can do it for pure pleasure rather than money, thanks to my job in the army." So on the side, Hume published two collections of music, the first part of Airs for Lyra Vile, just mentioned, and 2 years later in 1607, Captain Hume's Poetical Music. We'll hear from both collections, played on unaccompanied viol or up to three viols with harpsichord, on a 2014 Alpha recording from Les Basses-Réunies. Here's a piece called Soldier's Resolution, in which Hume tells a musical story, perhaps an embodiment of his own military career. The programmatic piece is in the long tradition of battle music. Think Bieber's Battaglia or Monteverdi's Combattimento. Hume's Soldier's Resolution is complete with various subtitles, which are shouted out in this recording, and they include Countermarch, The Kettle Drum, Trumpets, and March Away. Guido Balestracci plays the solo viol.
Trumpets!
Perhaps appropriately enough to a battle scene, Les Basses-Réunies programs Hume's What Greater Grief to follow the soldier songs on their CD. Here, as in other tracks, we are treated to a fuller ensemble sound of multiple viols and at times a brass or gut-strung harpsichord. And just a word here about that ensemble sound, the three viols played on this recording were newly built by instrument maker Charles Richer and his assistant Frederica Dangle, and were specifically matched for this project. We always think of Stradivarius in Italy when considering string instrument makers, but England has a rich history of it as well, especially in terms of viols from the 16th century on. John Rose, Richard Blunt, Henry Jay, William Baker, Richard Mears, Barack Norman, Edward Lewis, these are just some of the most well-known. One of the viols on this recording is modeled on an instrument by John Rose. Another of the newly built viols draws on elements from several different 17th century English makers, while the largest of the three, a so-called English great bass viol, is patterned after an instrument by Henry Jay. Let's hear those instruments in action in Hume's The Passion of Music. ¶¶ recurring theme in Hume's publications are his eccentric titles. Hume often liked to make puns on his own name, like Captain Hume's Musical Humors, or A Humorous Pavan, or A Careless Humor. But there's also a whole slew of pieces with titles like Touch Me Sweetly, Touch Me Lightly, Touch Me Quickly, or Tickle Tickle. And while whatever you're thinking right now, you're probably right. Hume was no saint. Though not on this particular recording, Hume even wrote a piece called The Prince's Almain, a lesson for two to play upon one viol. One player has to sit in the other's lap in order to perform it. Here's another, though. The lighthearted My Mistress Hath a Pretty Thing. If you'd like to know more about this recording, you'll find a link to it on our website, harmoniaearlymusic.org. When you visit, have a look at our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows, and check out our online shop, where a portion of your purchase will benefit Harmonia. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.